It's 6:05 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 45, cloudy, foggy, some drizzle this morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. Davis Allen's got traffic on the fives.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Taking a look at the front gate of NES Pensacola this morning. So far, not seeing any delays to report at the moment. Also, Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge are flowing smoothly. Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, all the way to Hurlburt Field, checking in clear. And I-10, I-110 reporting no delays. Now, if that changes, if you do notice anything out there, you can feel free to let me know at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
A fire and explosion Sunday afternoon at an ECUA compressed natural gas fueling station on Pine Forest Road destroyed at least 5 sanitation trucks, damage to another 2 or 3 being evaluated. Around a half dozen others have damage like broken windshields. About 50 CNG-powered sanitation and recycling trucks are in the ECUA fleet. An ECUA spokeswoman, Natalie Bauer, says there should be no impact to ECUA collections. People felt or heard that explosion as far away as Cantonment and Pace. Nobody was hurt. City of Milton breaking ground on its new wastewater treatment facility. The $40 million project to replace the current facility, which is expected to reach capacity in a couple of years. City Manager Randy Jorgensen telling Channel 3 the new plant will be able to process at least 6 million gallons of wastewater a day.
In its absence, you don't have the growth and development that others have projected for this part of Santa Rosa County.
That groundbreaking ceremony held over the weekend. The new facility will not service Milton only, but also the surrounding area, including Whiting Field. Plans to build a new morgue in Northwest Florida now moving ahead, however slowly.
The current facility is undersized for the needs of our district.
Santa Rosa County Commission and Northwest Florida Morgue Steering Committee Chair Dan Shebler telling Channel 3 they'll have to rely on roughly $500,000 from Tallahassee to help design the new facility. Leaders from the 4 counties served by the District 1 state medical examiner now banding together to find the rest of an estimated $20 million needed to build the new larger facility. The current morgue in the basement at Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital has become overwhelmed in part because of the increase in bodies caused by the coronavirus pandemic. Today marks 5 years since a tornado tore through the Century area. The EF3 tornado first touched down southwest of McDavid about 3:30 in the afternoon. Was on the ground for more than 16 miles with a path up to 300 yards wide. Moved into Century, reaching peak intensity with widespread damage, destroying numerous homes and businesses. There's a chance for some storms later today across our area. Some of those could be heavy as well. That's going to be followed by a lot colder air moving in. Wintry weather possible to our northwest in parts of Mississippi and Alabama. That cold air is going to push into our area overnight tonight into Tuesday. Wind chills by tomorrow dropping into the teens. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We saw a chilly start along the Gulf Coast. Temperatures will be warming today, that high near 58 degrees. As we head into the afternoon, showers and thunderstorms likely. We will be seeing a chance for severe weather, that main threat being gusty winds with a brief isolated tornado. As you go overnight, we will be seeing those temperatures drop into the 20s, even seeing teens closer towards Mobile. Very cold night, wind chill values between 15 and 20 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
It's 45 in Pensacola and Milton, 48 in Gulf Breeze at 6:09. Our next news at 6:30 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Trump had warnings about the crowd in front of him on January 6th. There were detailed posts online of attack plans. Law enforcement warned that these posts were real threats and even made arrests in the days leading up to the attack. There were credible reports that many would be armed and ready to attack the Capitol. Despite these credible warnings of serious dangerous threats to our Capitol, when the crowd was standing in front of the president, ready to take orders and attack, he said, "We're going to the Capitol and we fight like hell, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore."
So this was the repeated reference, was the fight like hell comment, and if you don't fight like hell, then you're not going to have a country. It's not possible to really summarize 24 or 5, whatever hours of impeachment hearings in just a couple of minutes coherently. But it was interesting to me that the prosecution, and this is often the case, okay, the prosecutors got up there, the House managers got up there, and they gave their side of the story. You know, their interpretation of the events. They fabricated the appearance of a couple of the tweets. They changed them unintentionally, maybe, you know, adding a check mark to one that didn't have it originally because it wasn't a screenshot. They changed the video, but then again, the House, you know, the defense folks, they kind of added music to the video too, so that's a bit of a wash. But the main thing that they never did, and this is what bothered me throughout, is because I knew the Oval speech so well. I knew the speech that he gave so well because we talked about it so many times. They lied about the speech. And when you lie about the speech, I don't know what else you might be lying about. Now, the defense team made a big deal about how they lied about other things. And so, you know, under a principle of the law, if you're false in some things, you're false in all things. But the way they kept misrepresenting the speech, like he told them to go fight. That's not what he said. Here, this was the one, the clip that they that she was talking about. Okay, this was the one that probably got the most attention. Here's a little bit, that clip with a little bit more context.
I think one of our great achievements will be election security, because nobody until I came. Okay,
that was the beginning. Just pay attention. Election security, right? Talking about the measures to improve elections in the future.
Because nobody until I came along had any idea how corrupt our elections were. And again, most people would stand there at 9 o'clock in the evening and say, "I want to thank you very much." And they go off to some other life. But I said, "Something's wrong here. Something's really wrong. Can't have happened." And we fight. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
So is that telling them to go fight? Or is he saying work on election security and work on these measures? Here's another example where he's talking about fighting, but he's not talking about them fighting. He's talking about elected representatives fighting.
And you have to get your people to fight. And if they don't fight, we have to primary the hell out of the ones that don't fight.
Okay. You've got to get your people to fight. Oh, my God, he's telling them to go fight. No, he's telling them to get their elected representatives to fight, which is a metaphor that everybody uses, as the defense repeatedly pointed out. The fight metaphor is one that every single one of the senators who voted to convict President Trump has used in their speeches many, many times. Saying fight in a political speech is not a convictable. So you got to get your people to fight. The representatives.
And you have to get your people to fight. And if they don't fight, we have to primary the hell out of the ones that don't fight.
Meaning he wants to use the process of lawful elections in order to challenge them at the ballot box. What was the speech about? Was the speech about go do a riot?
We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated.
He specifically tells you and them what the goal was. We've come together to get them to do the right thing, which is to disqualify the states that there's doubts about. That was the goal, is what he was saying in the speech.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
But see, when the prosecution presents, they don't say any of this context. They just say he's going to tell them to go down there and do violence. But that's not what he said. The fight references were not about doing violence. The march peacefully, they don't even mention. And yet, see, here's where the prosecution against President Trump has such a problem. Because they want to say that these followers are hanging on every single word of President Trump. And they do whatever the president says. Because they're all these mindless lemming followers who have been brainwashed into the cult of Trump. And then when you actually look at the words he says and try to say they followed his words, well, they didn't. The ones who were rioting, the ones who were protesting did. The vast majority, the 19,000-ish, 200, let's guess, if there's 20,000 people there and there's 800 went in the Capitol, the vast majority did what he said. What about the other ones? Well, he should have known. You know, I think you can make some case he should have known. I don't think there's nothing there. I don't think there's enough to convict, and there's certainly not enough under the Brandenburg State doctrine to prove incitement, that he said the words, he didn't say the words of violence, that he intended violence. You certainly can't prove that. And that violence resulted from the speech, well, that's not true most of the time, and a lot of the violence had actually started before the speech was over and even before it had begun. So in the end, senators had to vote on extraordinarily thin grounds whether they thought the president was responsible for the riot. And again, what bothered me throughout is because I knew the speech and I watched the House managers lie about what was in the speech. And again, the argument they make is Trump's in control with every word he speaks. But if you look at the actual words, they're not violent. Well, they know what he meant. Okay, so now it's dog whistle stuff. Now it's what they should have known he really meant in spite of what he actually said. It's just... Did the president do everything right? No. Is the president somewhat to blame? Yes. Was he wise? Did he do everything he should have? No, no. Should he have been impeached? No. Did he commit a crime? No. Did he intend for a peaceful or a violent protest? I side with peaceful, but I go 80-20. 70-30, somewhere in that vicinity. You have to make a decision based on the evidence you have, and that's what I decide. 4-3-7-16-20, and, you know, in the Senate, 7 Republicans voted with the Democrats, the 43 Republicans voted to acquit, and so that was it. We're done. 6-17 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 16-20. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Yeah, no delays to report on any major roadways around Pensacola. That also includes the front and back gates of NAS Pensacola. Gulf Breeze Parkway through Navarre Parkway also flowing smoothly this morning, and Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge showing no delays. Now, if anything changes, feel free to let me know at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So we all love the South, right? The South is wonderful, except for what? The humidity. That's definitely not one that we particularly love. But guess what? Southern Climate Solutions specializes in helping you live in the South without the humidity. That's exactly what they do. Because, you know, humidity in your home does things like it can damage your wood, you know, your laminate, your floors. It can cause you to have mold growth. It can hurt your health, all of these things. And maybe you've actually remediated some of that one time before. But if you don't solve the underlying moisture that is causing those problems, then you're going to get those problems again. Well, that's exactly what Southern Climate Solutions does. They have whole home dehumidifiers is what they specialize in. That's their one thing that they do. And the whole idea is to take your home and make it a happy place inside of this overly humid southern climate. And they help you with things like the mold, and they help you with things like the wood warping, or they help you with your health issues that might come from, or silly things you never think about, like, you know, pianos go out of tune because of the humidity. They help solve that by getting the right amount of humidity inside your home. So if any of those things apply to you, and since we all live in the South, they all apply to all of us, find out how Southern Climate Solutions can help you. SouthernClimateSolutions.com.
Support starting to get prices on moving the trailer park. Because that's the first thing that's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
Once that's removed, then I think a better appraisal would come into play. Because that appraises is going to have to say, okay, what's it going to cost to move this out of the way before we do anything? So I think all of us agree. I think we'd have pretty much a 100% agreement with City Council that Trailer City needs to go away first. So I can support that.
Commissioner Bob Cole, Santa Rosa County, talking during the work session last week about when they finally get the new courthouse built, something's going to have to be done with the old courthouse. What do you do with that? Get ready for another fight. You thought it was a fight to fund the building of the new courthouse. Talk about the fight over what to do with a partially, anyway, historic structure in the old courthouse. You know, do you just raise it to the ground and build something else? You know, do you preserve part of it? Do you turn it into something? I mean, you know, this is a conversation that we're going to have, obviously. But one thing that's for sure is that the Trailer City is going to go. That's going to have to go, which I think pretty much everybody agrees about that. 622 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Senator Dick Durbin says the issue of convicting former President Trump in the Capitol riot came down to the minority leader.
We were never going to reach 67 votes in the Senate without Mitch McConnell voting guilty.
And of course, McConnell wound up voting to acquit Trump, as did most of his Republican colleagues, even though he says there's no question Trump was responsible for the insurrection and suggests he can still be held accountable in court. Millions of Americans shivering, many of them in the dark this morning as winter storms sweep across much of the country. Weather canceled nearly 1,000 flights at airports in Dallas. Snow forecast today from Texas, Oklahoma, on up into Kansas, spreading into parts of Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Princess Harry and Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, will soon be adding another member to their family. Spokesperson confirming Meghan is pregnant with their second child. Archie was born back in 2019 and will soon have a little brother or sister.
All right, very cool. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 623 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. A lot of people doing a lot of apologizing recently. Did you notice this? Like, you got The Bachelor, you know, Hardwick?
Chris Harrison.
Harrison, that's right, Chris Harrison. Apologizing for his comments on a TV show about things that were done. One of the contestants, I guess, was at an old South party or whatever.
Yeah, she was in a sorority, and she went to a fraternity party that was like a plantation-based party.
Yeah, and so, you know, obviously, under today's standards, bad judgment. Was it the same couple of years ago? He said standards change. Now he's out taking a break. You know, if you raise questions, right, be careful. You had Justin Timberlake has apologized for how he, which this is an interesting one because how does it take that long, you know, to realize? I mean, if you look back on it, who really got in trouble for the Super Bowl? Janet Jackson was the one that really was negatively associated with that event. He's the one that molested her on stage, right? I mean, but yet he kind of never suffered any kind. And then his connection with some of the things with Britney Spears and all of that. So it's a little late for an apology, but late is better than never, I suppose. Oh, and somebody commented to me and said, my comments praising Biden for following through on getting rid of his deputy press secretary were too charitable to Biden since it happened several weeks after the incident happened. It was a resignation, not a firing. And, you know, it was after the Vanity Fair story had come out, which is certainly after they knew that this had all happened. That's fair. That's a fair criticism. Maybe I was too generous to Biden. And maybe they didn't have any alternative either. It's certainly not as robust a behavior as he said in his warning to all the employees, right? 625 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and so far, no delays to report from the front or back gates of NAS Pensacola. That's also the case for Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge. Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, still flowing smoothly. Same with Highway 87 and I-10, I-110, and 9 Mile Road, all checking in clear there. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So if you go to buy a used car, I recommend you at least include Frontier Motors in your list of places that you're going to start. But let's say, I don't know, for some reason you decide to go somewhere else. If you do, make sure you get a Carfax. Now, a Carfax is not everything because there are things that might happen to a car that aren't necessarily on a Carfax. So I recommend a used car inspection by a mechanic you trust. Like, that's 100%. Every time you buy a used car, you should do that. But, you know, okay. So you're going to buy it from somebody other than Frontier for whatever reason, and they don't even give you a Carfax, which is kind of like the bare minimum. Well, that's fine. Just call Frontier and have them run the VIN for you. They'll give you a Carfax. How much? Well, for free. You say, really? To help me buy a car from somebody else? Sure. Because, see, their philosophy is, look, we want to serve the community. This is an easy way for us to do something above and beyond to serve the community. We do this all the time. It's no big deal. Maybe people wind up buying from us because they see we're trustworthy. Maybe they don't. Doesn't really matter. The point is we can do it. We're going to help people buy better cars and not get stuck with one that they regret. We're going to do that service. that's just kind of their philosophy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Like three people. Oh my God, loving Rockets. And everybody else like, oh, that's got a cool rhythm. I love it. That's fantastic. 629 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay, back from vacation. Davis, you, Bobby, Mike, filling in from you last week. Thank you so much.
And thank you for coming back.
You're welcome. COVID stuff, you know, I didn't report on this while I was gone. I was still tracking the numbers, but I didn't post anything on our Facebook page. So those updates are now back. You'll notice some of the data is blacked out today because they didn't update the Sunday numbers on testing data, so I can't give you those numbers. But everything else is heavy. Headed in the right direction. Now, again, we are better than we have been. It is objectively bad, but the numbers continue to be getting much better. For example, the United States current hospitalizations are now below 70,000 for the first time since November 14th. So it's at 70,000, which is bad, but it is decreasing rapidly, which is very good. Florida current long-term care cases dropped below 7,000 for the first time since June 24th. I think this is due to vaccinations finally starting to take hold in the long-term care community, which is also really good news. Current hospitalizations in Florida dropped below 5,000 for the first time since December 13th. That's still bad, but that's dropping. Florida passed 1 million full vaccinations, which is 4.8% of the population, and dropped below the 500 infected per 100,000 population for the first time since November. So that's all good news. We did pass 10,000 long-term care facility case deaths, which is bad. But again, I think those numbers are trending in the right direction. Mark Jacobs, what do you got coming up, sir?
An explosion rattles parts of Escambia County. That story now. It's 6:30 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. It's 47. Cloudy, foggy, some drizzle. Good morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. An explosion and fire Sunday afternoon at a compressed natural gas fueling station for ECUA on Pine Forest Road destroyed at least five sanitation trucks. A man at a nearby Walmart sent video from his dash cam to Channel 3.
Holy.
Spokeswoman Natalie Bowers says damage to another two or three trucks is being evaluated. About a half dozen others have damage like broken windshields. There are about 50 CNG-powered sanitation and recycling trucks in the ECUA fleet. Bowers says there should be no impacts to collections. People felt or heard that explosion as far away as Cantonment and Pace. Nobody was hurt. President Biden pushing for many reforms to the nation's gun laws on the third anniversary of the deadly school shooting in Parkland. 17 people killed in that shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School on Valentine's Day 2018. Biden releasing a statement yesterday calling for background checks on every gun sale. Also wants a ban on assault-style weapons and no more immunity for gun manufacturers. No new COVID-19 deaths, but a 62 additional cases in Escambia County Sunday. That's the latest report from the Florida Department of Health. Santa Rosa County recorded two new deaths and 55 cases. Hospitalizations in Escambia County standing at 125 as of yesterday. Florida added more than 5,400 new cases. The state's total now more than 1.8 million. The state also had 96 new deaths, with a death toll now up to just over 29,200. Florida gas prices took a step back last week. Average price for a gallon of gas declining 2 cents, still up about a quarter since the 1st of January. Florida drivers paying an average of $2.46. Mark Jenkins with AAA says the price could eventually hit $2.60 a gallon in the coming weeks as refineries prepare to switch to summer blend gasoline. Escambia County officials considering an ordinance to allow stores to sell alcohol on Sunday mornings countywide. If approved, that new ordinance would allow alcohol sales between 6 a.m. and 2:30 a.m. every day of the week. The Escambia County Commission set to hold a public hearing on that ordinance Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. Well, you can run, but you can't party. The 44th annual McGuire's 5K taking place this year, but the massive after party traditionally following that race will not. McGuire's Irish Pub says annual 5K will be capped at just 5,000 runners this year. Typically would bring 10,000 to 13,000 people downtown. The online registration form for the event, which is set for Saturday, March the 13th, can be found on McGuire's website. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We saw a chilly start along the Gulf Coast. Temperatures will be warming today, that high near 58 degrees. As we head into the afternoon, showers and thunderstorms likely. We will be seeing a chance for severe weather, that main threat being gusty winds with a brief isolated tornado. As you go overnight, we will be seeing those temperatures drop into the 20s, even seeing teens closer towards Mobile. Very cold night, wind chill values between 15 and 20 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
It's 47 in Pensacola, 50 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton at 635. Traffic on the fives now. Here's Davis Allen.
Yes, still seeing no delays in major roadways around Pensacola, Milton, Gulf Breeze. This obviously includes Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge. So good news for our people in Gulf Breeze and heading into Pensacola or vice versa. I-10, I-110 checking and clear, as well as 9 Mile Road. And also through Pace and Milton, Highway 90 showing no delays. If you notice anything else out there, give us a call at 262-6111. And this report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. They're family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Our next news at 7 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Find our podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and NewsRadio923.com.
If we're playing this music, it either means that Davis has been let loose, or Andrew's been let loose, or Alex Andrade is our guest. or I suppose it could be Rubio. Rubio also likes the old school rap. Joining us now, we have State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2, which is the southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze, and of course that includes Pensacola Beach. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. Where are you at this morning? You in Tallahassee, or are you back home?
I'm back home for now, but I'll be back on the road to Tallahassee this afternoon.
Yay. Well, let's start with the question that I always ask you, just in case anything changes. Are we still on track, as far as FDOT says, for end of March opening of the bridge?
Yes, there will be. I'm so confident the traffic will be open on the bridge on March 31st.
All right, very good. And that's going to, just for people who might not have been paying attention, or for people who just, they casually listen to the show and they just don't know, and that's fine, okay? That's two-way traffic on the reconstructed old new southbound span of the bridge.
Yes.
Okay.
That will be the damaged span will be open for traffic by March 31st.
Obviously, no pedestrian path, not for a while. And also, do we know yet, do we have a target date for the northbound span to be completed? I know everybody doesn't much care about that anymore because we just want to get it back open to some degree, but do we know when that's supposed to happen?
I think by the end of next year.
Okay.
But it's always subject to change.
You think? I'm sorry. It's my snarky side. I apologize. Okay, so that's good news, obviously. I mean, it's long overdue, but still, that's good news. Tallahassee, what do you guys, you got stuff coming up this week. We're still not, when did we go into sine die? Is it March 1st?
So, sine die is the end of session.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you're right.
Being Latin for without days. Session begins first week of March.
Okay.
And then we go for 60 days.
But you got still have all these committee hearings that are going on in the what I call the preseason, or maybe the middle season or something like that, spring season, whatever. What do you have coming up this week?
So, yeah, this is our fifth and final committee week before session officially starts. So bills are being heard in committees, and those committees will extend through well past halfway through session. So these committees will still be going on when session begins. But it's really the first few stops for a bill before it can be heard on the House floor. I have a couple up this week that I'm excited to go present. And we're starting to hear appropriations bills as well for special projects, but the jury's still out on how much money in special projects will be allocated this year.
So, yeah, let's talk about some of the bills I saw you had up on your Instagram over the weekend. You had, you know, construction defects, transportation policy, use of drones after disasters. You got a couple of different things. Which of these, or maybe as many of them as you want to tell people, are happening this week?
Yeah, so I think the one that's the most helpful is there was a lot of coverage after Hurricane Sally regarding FEMA individual assistance and the damages assessment that FEMA was requiring before they would give it. One major issue with a flood-type disaster is once that water recedes, it's very difficult to identify from the air where that damage might have been and how significant that damage might have been. Governments in Florida, local governments, are not allowed to use drones for obvious reasons. We have major privacy concerns if a government has carte blanche to use a drone in other contexts. So to allow them to use a drone after a natural disaster like Hurricane Sally, they need special permission from the government. I'm working on getting counties that permission so that immediately after a hurricane, they can go put their drones up in the sky, go take photos of where the water was before the water starts to recede, and hopefully never have another county in Florida go through the same circumstance that we did, where they could not identify with enough specificity where the flooding was in their community.
Okay, so this is really a response to Sally and the challenge, as you explained, as the challenge that homeowners had of proving to the FEMA teams once they got on the ground, even a couple of days after the fact, it's very hard to see where the water was and how bad it was at the time of the event. Whereas tornadoes, for example, or hurricanes with wind damage, it's a lot easier to see. Well, you know, there's a roof off, but it's a lot harder to see the 2 feet of water that's no longer there. But and individuals, obviously, who are affected, they're not in at that, you know, they're just trying to stay alive. You know, they're trying to take care of themselves and get the power back on and get their families fed and clean water and all that kind of stuff. Whereas governments might be in the unique position of at least being able to put a drone up in the air, capture the evidence, and then make that evidence available to homeowners who are then filing their individual assistance claims with FEMA. Is that the idea?
Yeah, no, exactly. And similarly, because of our flooding issues and our infrastructure issues, we need better elevation maps here in Florida. Most of Florida has had what's called LIDAR mapping done, which is, you know, highly specific, unique elevation maps for their areas. But the farthest west portion of being able for whatever reason haven't gotten government funding for LIDAR mapping yet. So another bill that I'm doing this year is just to get funding so that we can actually have the best elevation maps possible for our governments to use in making infrastructure decisions for flood mitigation.
Yeah.
Again, same reason. Flooding is just a major issue here in Northwest Florida. We need to start doing something about it.
Yeah, and again, back to the previous bill, you know, having the drone evidence of the result, you know, it's one thing to have the elevation maps and to know how the water's supposed to work, and then to have the actual evidence of how the water actually did work during an event is, you know, very valuable to confirm or disconfirm the expectations based on the geography. That's very interesting stuff. What else do you have going on this week?
Committee meetings. We have in my role, we got some education bills that are starting to move. A couple, you know, freedom of thought education bills in higher ed.
Is that going to pass this year? This is the one that would start to require. Is this the one that does the survey of the viewpoints of the teachers?
In higher education, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, one major issue. The Speaker of the House last week sent a letter to all superintendents in Florida. While, you know, our general revenue budget at the state level has taken a hit, school districts are most likely going to see some level of a windfall this year in funding, mainly because of the billions of dollars that are coming from the federal government. And one of the major concerns that the speaker has is you know, this one-time injection of cash needs to be used wisely.
Yeah.
School districts have been noting concerns about deferred maintenance for years. You know, air conditioning units that are busted, roofs that have temporary fixes in it, And he sent a very strongly worded letter to every school superintendent in Florida last week saying, if you're going to use this massive windfall of cash, you need to be using it on one-time items, and do not use it to supplement your general budget, because that money will not be there next year. One major component this entire session, one major theme is going to be exactly what are we doing financially with our education systems to make sure that we are not running over any cliffs in the years ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. If you've got one-time money, use it for necessary one-time expenses. Don't spend it on recurring things that you're not going to have that money for next year. On that front, and I don't know if this is something that you may not know the answer, and that's okay, but I was curious if you might. We've seen reports of, and we knew this was going to happen, of significantly decreased enrollment, especially in Escambia County, but also in Santa Rosa County, probably because kids are being kept home out of kindergarten, but, you know, they're just less kids, and it's not that there are less kids around. They're just less kids enrolled in public school. Is that drop going to significantly affect school revenues coming up this year, next year? When does that start to actually take effect, if it does?
It won't affect schools this year. Directives from both the governor's office and from the Department of Education have said that the student population, based on the Florida Education Funding Program, the FEFP, will not be used to alter the funds going to school districts this coming year. However, I think to incentivize and make sure that school districts are actually looking for those missing students, I anticipate the FEFP will go back to normal the year after.
Okay. Okay. And that makes sense to me. I was curious when we would start to see consequences from that if it doesn't remedy itself. Well, very good. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2, the southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach, which, of course, is part of Escambia County. Alex, thanks so much for the time. Have a safe trip back to Tallahassee this afternoon.
Thank you.
You bet. 647 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Yeah, and taking a look at these roadways, thank goodness you're not in Baton Rouge, by the way, because apparently the interstate, that portion of I-10 over there is closed off due to ice on the roadways. That's not us. Good thing this morning is I-10, I-110 in our listening area is checking in clear. Also, taking a look at Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, those roadways are all flowing smoothly. Now, I am seeing some delays through Windhaven Beach on Highway 98. This is as you are traveling in the eastbound direction. I'll follow up on this and see if there's any accident, but this is right in front of the Happy Donut over there and through Windhaven Beach as you're heading towards Hurlburt Field. So we'll follow up on this, and also as we take a look back in Pensacola, where the front gate of NES Pensacola is checking in clear as well. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
All right, I know you're not yet really thinking about this because you're like, it's January, and you just heard Davis telling you there's ice on the roads in Louisiana, okay? So, you know, I know you're not thinking about your lawn yet, but spring comes faster than you think. I mean, we are, right? I mean, we're halfway into February already. So now is the time to start thinking about that lawn. Now is the time to start thinking about what you're going to do to prevent the crabgrass from germinating, because once it germinates, it's too late. So you start thinking about that pre-emergent. You start thinking about dormancy, right? You know, now the lawn's not doing anything, but soon is the time where you're going to start to be looking at fertilizer, like end of March time, right? So now is the time to start thinking about NSEC. Because every year you have this choice. Do you want your lawn to look the way it looked every other year? If it looked great, fine. But if it hasn't and you'd like to make a change, now is the time to start thinking about that. So you can sign up today with NSEC. You get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program that includes the initial soil sample and a lime treatment on an average-sized lawn. Their programs are always timed, programmed to get you what your lawn needs, when it needs it, and the results are guaranteed. So if this year you want to do something different and get that green, lush lawn that you've always hoped you could have, NSEC, ENSEC.net.
Fifty-five!
national average for gallon gas, $2.50. Florida, $2.46. Cantil, California is $4.89. And Kilgore, Texas is $1.69. In Navarre this morning, going east at the Walmart, $2.36. Going west of the Walmart, $2.36. Up 87 is $2.51. So, you know, you make your smart choice. In Gulf Breeze, the best price is $2.37 in proper at the Exxon. Going over towards the Garcon Point, $2.35 at the stations in Tiger Point, $2.32 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. In Milton, $2.35 at the Raceway before Avalon, $2.41 down Avalon, $2.34 at the Walmart in Pea Ridge, and then $2.39 at both stations going along in Pace. Coming over into Pensacola, you got $2.35 at the Raceway on North Davis, $2.34 at the US 29 Murphy station in front of the Walmart there, $2.35 at other stations down US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, looks like your best price is $2.32 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on Navy, $2.37 at the Navy Exchange. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with your lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Former President Trump's second impeachment trial is over.
The yeas are 57. The nays are 43.
Despite the vote, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says there's no question the former president is morally responsible for the insurrection and could be held liable in court. Winter storms canceling flights, knocking out power, spreading cold and snow across much of the country. For those who are headed west on I-10 this morning toward New Orleans, we got word the interstate shut down at Baton Rouge, officials there calling it an ice skating rink.
And the cruise, that sounds like fun.
It doesn't it, though?
I mean,
ice skating in Baton Rouge.
Can we go ice skating in Baton Rouge? I'm seeing a thing in Amsterdam up on Channel 3 right now where they're ice skating. Why can't we ice skate in the South?
It just sounds really...
sounds so harmless.
Yeah.
It's not. Ice is awful. But go ahead.
The Croods, A New Age, once again number one at North American box offices. The computer animated feature earning just over $2 million.
Oh, God, I was going to estimate five. Two?
$2 million in its 12th week.
$2 million.
I heard
that'll
overall,
pay for the opening credits.
Overall now in its 12th week, I think it was still well under 100.
Wow.
I think.
It's amazing. I hope theaters come back.
I do too.
There's a whole infrastructure around all of that stuff. And, you know, it's hopefully, you know, maybe third quarter, maybe.
Maybe.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen now, time for a quick shot of sports.
We have a first-time winner in NASCAR, and what a way to get your first victory at the Daytona 500.
And Michael McDowell from Glendale, Arizona, for Bob Jenkins Front Row Motorsports, has won the Daytona 500.
How about that?
And then a fiery crash immediately.
Man.
Like flames everywhere, luckily. Everyone's okay as a result of this accident, but many cars taken out, flames shot everywhere. But Michael McDowell does get his first ever victory, and it came at the Daytona 500.
You seem to be celebrating the flames.
It's like fire. Like, look at all
Beavis.
The flames. And also, I think it's also worth mentioning that it was on the last lap. Normally, accidents happen on the last lap, but it's also the 20th anniversary of the passing of Dale Earnhardt Sr. When it was at the Daytona 500. But luckily, so many improvements came, unfortunately, as a result of that accident. But good thing, as all these drivers are okay. Oh, Bubba Wallace, he's the black driver who was in the headlines all last year over the noose issue. He led a lap during the race, and apparently first time ever in NASCAR history, a black person led the Daytona 500. So cool note there. I'm Davis Allen with Quick Shot of Sports.
All right, Davis, right back to you for traffic on the fives.
Yeah, taking a look at I-10, I-110, all flowing smoothly, no ice on the roads. Good report there. Also, Garcon Point Bridge and Avalon Boulevard are checking and clear. And I do have an update now through Wind Haven Beach going eastbound. There is an accident that occurred right there in front of the Happy Donut. So an accident on Highway 98 as you're going eastbound in front of the Happy Donut in Wind Haven Beach going towards Hurlburt Field. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So your vehicle needs to go to the shop. Look, we all own cars. That's what happens. You need somebody to take care of them. Maybe it's a simple maintenance thing, or maybe it's a big problem. And there's lots of places you can go, right? You could take it to the dealership or one of those franchise shops, or, you know, you could take it to a place where you know it's going to be fixed right the first time. And more importantly, to be told this stuff needs to be done, this stuff doesn't need to be done. I mean, that's kind of one of those key things, right? Is, you know, not everything plus the kitchen sink needs to be fixed. Not that you have one in your car, maybe you wish. But the point is, you want a place that's going to tell you what doesn't need to be done. Well, if you need repair work for your vehicle, take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service. If you've got a luxury vehicle and you're making that long drive all the way over the Bay to Mobile, don't do that. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. They fix problems that the other folks just can't do. So the next time your car breaks down, take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. You can find out more information at Car Clinic Service. That's carclinicservice.com. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Time for future news. Davis Allen and I, we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will Chris Harrison return to The Bachelor?
He will.
Yeah, way too popular. Will Justin Timberlake have any problems, or, you know, is he all good now that he's put up an apology?
Yeah, I think he's fine. He's been fine.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever much of an issue, and that's kind of the point. I think he's just getting ahead of it. Well, responsive a little bit, but getting ahead of it. Aunt Jemima is now the Pearl Milling Company. Way to take a white metaphor and make it your name and taking a black lady off the picture and name. Well done. Will Aunt Jemima suffer or benefit or nothing from all of this?
I think nothing.
I just, if anything, it's just people are going to be confused when they go to the store. Like, where's my stuff? I think that's what might happen. Have we seen the last big wave of COVID-19 because vaccinations are going to start to come into place?
My fingers are crossed, yes.
I also think yes. I'm going to say yes. I think we've seen the last one. Will Andrew Cuomo get impeached?
No.
Ooh, man, I so want to say yes, but I don't think the answer is yes. But he will have some staffers wind up leaving because of all the stuff hiding the death rate in the long-term care. And will Trump run for president in 2024?
No.
I also think no. We'll be back in a minute.
News, talk, traffic, and weather for Northwest Florida. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, and Pensacola. It's 7 o'clock.
An explosion rocks parts of Escambia County Sunday. Area officials working to find money to build a new morgue. And get ready for some colder weather. Those stories after Fox.